Praise the Lord. We thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry, being a part of our worship experience. And we're so thankful today that God has allowed us this opportunity to come together. Amen. And again, I greet you in the power and freedom of the joy of the Lord. For certainly we know today that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we're thanking you for being a part of this study time, whether you've joined us at our Sunday morning fellowship time, or you've come in to hear this lesson at a later date via our taping, we just pray that the Lord will bless you and that you would gain something from this lesson. Praise the Lord, that would be a benefit to you in your study time. We are staying, we're coming to the end of our study on the Apostle Paul's letters. He wrote some 13 letters to the churches during the early church days, and those letters are still invaluable, still greatly respected and recognized as a good portion of our New Testament study. And so we're staying right there until we finish those apostles' letters, and we're going to be looking at Timothy and Titus today. So join with me. Let's begin by studying 1 Timothy. Father, we thank you today for this word, and we pray, Lord God, that you would bless it, and that, Lord God, that you would use us mightily. Bless your people that as they receive it, may they gain, may they grow, and may they get greater understanding of who you are and our connection, our relationship with you. Bless those that are part right now and those that may later join in this study time. We pray that you would bless us all and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You are listening to the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship here at the Queen's Ministry. And I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and I again thank you for being a part of this day. Listen, the Lord is in his holy temple. I'm borrowing that from our pastor because he loves saying that, but I agree with him today. Let all the earth be silent before him. What does God have for us on today? We are studying the last letters of recognized, again, not going in the biblical order of our New Testament canon Bible, but what history or historians have said, how they were written. And so we're coming down to the last three letters written in the life of the Apostle Paul. And these three letters were written not to churches or to the general population, but these three letters were written to individuals. That's right. These letters were written in Paul's later years and the end of his life, at the end of his ministry, at the close of his days of serving mightily, and it shows his concern. These letters shows his concern for the church, for the leadership. Once he was gone, he wanted to make sure that the church was in good hand. He was laying in store the plan for the next in line, which is a great thing because, again, it is a blessing to us. Paul had concern for those that he led, and he helped build the foundation for, and for those that he mentored. So he writes to his proteges, his sons in the ministry, his brothers in faith, to showcase what it is that they may come up against in being leaders over the churches in different locations, the local congregation. And so he talks about in these letters church organization, he talks about church discipline, he talks about the appointment of leaders such as elders and deacons, he talks about the opposition of some even rebellious members within the church body. He talks about also false teachers and false teaching that tries to creep up in the church. And he talks about maintaining, because of that, true, pure doctrine, doctrine that is built on truth and not falsehood or someone's imagination or worldly knowledge. So he's encouraging these young leaders to stand guard against the enemy trying to destroy the church from inside as well as outside. Amen. These letters are full of warning, heartfelt warnings and instructions, and they have become invaluable to us here in this day and age. for the information that we have gathered and gleaned from these letters. And if you want to look at these letters not only as letters of instructions and guidance, but you can see them as a how-to manual within a how-to-live manual. Remember, the Bible can be looked at as basic instructions before leaving earth. And within the general context of that, you have in certain places in the Bible how-to manuals, and these letters will fall under that category. And so they're for us today in all places, pastors in all places, and for us as pastors at all times. Amen. And so if we were to group these letters, they fall under the term pastoral epistles or pastoral letters. If we were to identify these three letters, we call these letters the pastoral epistles. Again, you see why? Because of the information shared in these letters have become reference points for pastors in this day and age. So let's go by starting with 1 Timothy. We're just, again, doing brief overviews of these letters. And I encourage you, saints, to dig deeper, spend some time in the Apostle Paul's letters and see what you can get out of your own personal study time. But on today, we are going to do some brief review. So these letters, again, were written near the end of Paul's life. They were written by someone who had faced difficult circumstances, challenges, and had found himself again. That's right. He finds himself again in prison in the city of Rome. He finds himself again locked up because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He doesn't despair, though some see him writing these letters at a time when he felt lonely and abandoned and felt all alone, but they also see that he had hope. Hope that even if he was not here, that the work of Christ, the work of the gospel would continue. And so he pours in. And that's what we need to be about, older saints, seasoned saints. Who are we pouring into? Who are we entrusting our faith to, so that the faith of our fathers, the faith of our mothers, the faith of ourselves will continue on into generations? Remember, God is a God of generations, and so it don't stop in our generation. He wants to continue for our children, our children, our children's children. Amen. So who are we pouring into? Like Paul, who are we mentoring? That's something for us all to think about. So Paul, again, is writing during a season of his life where he sees the end. He's near the end of his life, and he doesn't want to leave it without leaving a legacy of hope and faith, not in himself, come on here, but in Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Timothy was written around AD 62 to AD 66, and again, possibly from the city of Rome or from Macedonia, modern day Greek. It was written to Timothy, who was a young leader in the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, who was considered a pastor. He was, again, known as Paul's son in the ministry. He really poured into this young man to help him to grow to become the leader that would take over in Paul's absence. He wrote this letter to deal with and to help remove false doctrine that had crept up in this church at Ephesus. He wanted to outline also to Timothy, because of his youth, people were trying to look down upon Timothy and saying, you know, one thing or another against him in leadership. But Paul wanted to say there are certain things, there are certain outlines of proper leadership and protocol in the church, and he wanted to share that with Timothy. He writes again to combat false doctrine and false teachers. And then, of course, he writes to not only counsel Timothy and to lead him and to guide him, but also to encourage him. And that's what we need to do sometimes, to encourage one another. The Bible speaks about that, encourage one another. Sometimes people are going through, they may not even share with you, they may have a smile on their face, but underneath things may not be what they want them to be. And they just need sometimes some encouragement. But I want to also say to you, if you can't get to somebody to pat you on the back or speak a good word to you, you can do it yourself. Just like David said, I had to encourage myself. So don't let's forget that we can do that also on our own own behalf. We can encourage ourselves and believe God. If nobody else is there, we can stand in agreement with Jesus Christ. Come on here. If we were, glory to God, outline this particular letter by chapters, we will begin with chapter 1 with the awareness of the trouble in Ephesus, what was going on. The false teaching and the heresy that was trying to creep into the church. Chapters 2 to 3, we could talk about public worship and church leadership as Paul lays out for Timothy how to do this in a right manner. Amen. And then again, chapter number 4, we can talk about the false teachers that Paul was making Timothy aware of. And then chapter 5, talking to Timothy about exercising discipline in his own life and then having, get this, pastoral care for the sheep. That's right. Remember, we have to be aware of that God has allowed the pastors to be the under-shepherd. Jesus says, I am the shepherd who watches over the sheep, but he has left in his stead under-shepherds to watch and to care for the sheep. So Paul was encouraging Timothy to be a pastor and to have pastoral care for those under his leadership. And then last chapter, chapter 6, it would be Paul's advice to Timothy as to how to do, how to be, how to handle those that may look down upon him because of his youthfulness, to not let that discourage him, but to stand firm because God had appointed and anointed him for the work. Amen, somebody. When you know that, you can stand against those that want to speak against you because you can believe that God is for you. And if he's for you, he is more than the world against you. I know somebody's praising God right there. Amen. Key verses we would see in 1 Timothy would be 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 to 13. Again, because of time constraints, we're not going to take the time to read it, but I will again encourage you to pick up that verse and read it and see what was the information in that verse that Paul was sharing with Timothy. Praise the Lord. Again, remember Timothy was Paul's protege. He was his companion. He looked for Timothy. He would even ask Timothy to come to be with him, to provide companionship, to provide friendship. He was viewed as Paul's son in the ministry. Paul was not the only one that had great influence over Timothy's life. His mother and his grandmother also were a great influence in his life. You all know the names Eunice and Lois. Paul wrote this letter again to encourage him and then to also instruct this young man in how to do in the church at Ephesus where he was left as pastor and leader. He gives some practical advice, how to handle the multitude of pressures and conflicts and challenges that he would find in the church environment and even in the location that they were in. Again, Ephesus was one of those cities. If we were to liken it, we would liken it to such places as a New York or something similar in that regard. In this letter, he affirms their relationship and he offers Timothy fatherly advice. He warns him, be aware of these false teachers and hold on to your faith. Just because you hear something and it sounds good, it may not be the truth. Try the Spirit, by the Spirit, know it for yourself. He shares with him how to respond to these false teachers, how to stand up, how to recognize them so that you can combat it. Just like Bishop took the time today to share with us the information regarding the celebration of Halloween and where it came from, the foundation of it, who was a part of bringing it into the Christian part of the Christian fellowship or even part of the Christian makeup. We learned that today so that we can stand against the falsehood we may hear about and we can know for ourselves what's the truth about it. That's what we pastors do. They lead their sheep into truth. They open their eyes so they know the right from the wrong. So Paul addresses Timothy to have this awareness and to recognize and then how to respond. He also wants to make sure that we worship the Lord in public in a right manner. So when people talk about us, they can talk about us in a good way. Amen. So he stresses in public worship the need to gather in a right manner and the need to pray, and glory to God. We heard that that's always in order. Amen. Prayer is always in order when the saints come together. And so Paul stressed that need for public worship. And then he lays out how to appoint, how to select leaders, what to do with leaders, just how his leadership came about on the laying on of hands. So be careful who you lay hands on and to place in leadership position. Gave him outlines and ways of having discernment so that he could be a teacher and leader of leaders. Amen. This was a personal letter to a young leader that was offered practical lessons to apply and to adhere to. So we see in this again, this how-to manual, it has become a church manual of administration and discipline. We still use particular outlines of this letter in our own church setting. We know with the appointment of elders and even our ministers and our leaders, how we go back to this foundational teaching and our appointment of leaders now today. Interesting note, one of the things I've found in study is this. Paul wrote this letter probably just before his final imprisonment. Again, this is the second time he's in prison in Rome. Paul was most likely released from his first time he served in house imprisonment when he had appealed to Caesar. Remember, we talked about that last week with the four letters written from Rome. When he went to Rome to have Caesar hear his case, they probably released him. But sometime later, he was again captured because of his faith, because he was known as a Christian and a promoter of the gospel. He was again placed in prison, not under the same conditions we see. And it was during that time of release from his first time in prison that he was able to travel again and to go about and preach the gospel. And it was during this time that he may have penned this letter to Timothy. Praise the Lord. And then following the intense persecution, that's when we find that Paul is thrown back into prison. What was his concern in writing this letter to Timothy? Just to summarize again, to confront false teachers and to give advice and counsel to a young leader and to present good church discipline and protocol. So we thank God today for Paul leaving that how-to manual instructions with us in this letter to Timothy. Let's move to our next letter, and that is the letter to Titus. Titus was Paul's brother in the faith, in the ministry, and he was left as a leader at the church at Crete, C-R-E-T-E, one of the Greek islands. Paul left in place Titus to help run that community of believers. Amen. This letter was written around AD 64 to 66. Same condition, possibly from the city of Rome or from the location of Macedonia. It was written again to a young leader of this church that Paul had established on one of his missionary journeys. His name was Titus, and it was to instruct Titus, to advise Titus on his responsibility of supervising the churches at this location, one of the Greek islands called Crete, to encourage the church to do good works and to assist Titus in his training and development of leaders. If we had time, and perhaps we will come back to these letters in a little bit more in-depth time and study, but if we took time to look at chapter 2, Titus 2 talks about Titus 2 women, Titus 2 men, and young people, the relationship to one another and the relationship to these leaders in the church. Talks about older women encourage and teach the young older men encourage and teach the young men, respect between both, not to push and not to anger. So in Titus we see the layout of protocol between interdynamical relationship skills between leaders and members in the church household. We find that in Titus. He also wrote to encourage the church to do good works. That's it, to do good works, to assist Titus in his training and development of these leaders, and to offer counsel on how to minister to various age groups in church with the different groups that will have come together, with older, younger, single, married, those that were young in the faith, those that were seasoned in the faith, how to deal with these different types of individual. And if we again were to outline this particular letter into sections, we could break it down by chapters, starting with chapter 1, which is basically dealing with instructions and guidance to Titus, thusly for us, the church now. Chapters 2 and 3, living in faith. That's again talking about how to respond, how to be in relationship with others. In chapters 2 to 3, living in faith is again how we respond to one another. Those Titus 2 women, Titus 2 men, what do you need to show forth in your walk? And then the final chapter there, chapter 3, also talks about instructions of discipline that we as Christians must adhere to. Discipline, even though the world says anything goes and it's all right to do anything as long as you feel okay about it, the Bible teaches us about discipline. Amen. About discipline. Key verse would be Titus 1 and 5, and then also Titus 3, 4 through 7. Again, take a moment, look over those verses, read through them, and see what you can gather from those key verses in being helpful in your understanding of Paul's letter to Titus. Titus, like Timothy, was a young minister under Paul's wing and guidance. He was a Greek believer, and he was taught and nurtured by Paul. His life was an example of what Christ was doing among the Gentiles. So Titus was not born a Jew or born or grown into the Jewish faith. He came in by being converted under the leadership and tutelage of Paul, his mentor. Amen. And so we see here that Titus was a Gentile. He also was a great trusted companion and friend of Paul. You'll see in some of the letters, he again instruct others, get Titus for me. He looked for these young men to be a help, to be armor bearers, amen, to be support for him. And many times he would call upon them, or you would find them in his presence with him. And he would, when he sent out his greetings or when he sent out his final salutations, he would include their names because they were there with him and for him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they were people that he could trust on, trust and believe to be there with him and depend on. Titus was sent by Paul to the island of Crete to represent him and to oversee the church that was there. Paul's letter, like the one to Timothy we just talked about, laid out instructions and guidance in organizing the church. Again, these three letters that we're talking about today are all classified under the title pastoral epistles or pastoral letters. In them, we get instructions, or we can view them as a how-to manual to be a pastor and leader in the church. Paul lists also the qualities of being an elder. What is some of the things that an elder needs to be? Blameless, husband of one wife, and so on and so forth. Again, as you read the book of Titus, you'll see all those laid out. He also identifies the responsibility of Titus in leading the church, and that he also would be careful in his appointment of and training of leaders that will follow and be under his guidance. So Titus, again, shows us how to raise up leaders. Praise the Lord. Amen, somebody. This letter to Titus gives us not only insight to the organization and life of the early church, but also the principles and structure that can be applied to modern day. The infrastructure that we see in modern day churches is built upon what we gleaned out of the books of Titus and Timothy. Paul was mindful of the people's history. He was mindful that the churches were a body of mixed believers, meaning they didn't all come from the same walk of life. They didn't all come from the same foundational beginnings. They didn't all come from the same culture. And so he wanted Titus to understand that how to discipline and how also to usher in the maturity of Christian living, and to remind them that obedience is important. Amen. Praise God. So good information for us also. What was he concerned about in writing this letter, outside of giving instruction and guidance and showing Titus how to have discipline, not only in his own life, but to share that with others? But he was also wanting Titus to push for the maturity. I keep coming back to that verse in Colossians. It says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. That's the goal of pastors, to present all of us mature, growing, not mature and perfect, but mature and growing, becoming all who God says that we are. Those instructions were given also to Timothy as well as Titus. And then finally he wrote, his concern was to encourage this young man. We all need encouragement. That's right. Encourage your leader. Praise God. Sometimes we walk around thinking that the leaders don't need encouragement. The same way you need encouragement, sometimes those leaders also need you to just say, I thank you, Pastor, for sharing it. I thank you, Pastor, for blessing me, for giving me what you did. Amen. Encourage one another. Amen. And then lastly, we come to our last one, and that is Timothy. Amen. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. He wrote the second letter. In hopes of Timothy would understand what it is that he needed to know as being a leader. And so Paul wanted to make sure that Timothy had it. So he wrote the second letter to Timothy in hopes that Timothy would be able to glean even more. This letter was written shortly before Paul closed his eyes. We know again that he was one of the Jews that were being persecuted. He was placed in prison, and most of those Jews died as martyrs. Most of them were killed once they were gathered during this season of Christian persecution in Rome. So we find Paul caught up in this, and he writes this last letter to Timothy, his young minister that he had poured so much into. Again, written around AD 66 to 67. It was the second of his letters to Timothy from the city of Rome, possibly while he was in prison or just before he went into prison for the final time. It's his last words to Timothy, last words even to us as people of faith. He wrote to encourage him and to persevere in faith and to proclaim the gospel. Those were the same words Jesus said to us in Matthew and in the Gospels, when he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. What he wants us to do, go out and make disciples to proclaim the gospel. So Paul writes this second letter to Timothy, addressing the needs of the church, to encourage Timothy to remain faithful in ministry, even in suffering, and to give final instructions and guidance to pass the torch of leadership to this next generation of believers. Again, who are we raising up to take over when we are no longer here? We ought to be able to look behind us and see a trail of others following behind us. Amen. If nobody's behind us, we ain't doing the right thing. Come on here, somebody, and praise God for the leadership and the pouring into others, that we'll be ready to pass on the torch to the next generation. That's what Paul was doing, passing the torch. You know that in relay races, you hold back that hand. Sometimes you don't even know. You just have faith. Somebody's behind you to take hold of that baton. And that's what Paul was doing. He's having faith in these young preachers, these young pastors, to take hold of the baton and carry it on to the next level. Praise God, to pass the torch to the leadership for the next generation of leaders. He wrote this as, again, a final farewell to a friend, to a son, to those believers in faith. If we were to outline this book by chapters, it would be chapter 1, giving thanksgiving. Chapter 2, a call to be faithful or to remain faithful. Chapter 3, the authority of God's word. And then 3 and 4, leading a godly life. You all will note so much in Paul's letters, he don't leave you clueless. That's right. Say to yourself, I'm not clueless. That's right. That Bible is filled, chock full of information, instructions on how to live for the Lord. If you don't know what to do, get in your word. The Lord will lead you. Ask the Spirit to lead you into the books and the letters that give you instructions on how to live for God. Amen. Key verses we find in 2 Timothy would be 2:15, and then chapter 3:15-17. Again, take a moment, look those verses over, and see what Paul is sharing with Timothy in those verses. This is, again, his final letter. It was written by Paul after a well-spent, full life. Paul shouldn't have had no regrets, and I'm sure he didn't. He might have felt abandoned and left alone at this stage of the game, but he knew who he had placed his faith in. Glory to God. And he knew that his Redeemer lived, and he was just waiting for the time to see him in glory. He might have been languishing in a cold Roman cell, but he was safe in the arms of Jesus. Can I get an amen, somebody? He may have sensed the near ending of his life, but he saw the beginning and the hope in the life of these young pastors and preachers and leaders in the church. So Paul may have been at the end, but he was preparing a new beginning, greater beginnings, glory to God, for these young men, Timothy included. So we thank God today what Paul did. He wrote this letter, these letters, to encourage us, to help us to know what to do. Remember, we can see these letters as how-to manuals for the church, giving us instructions on discipline, church structure, appointment of leaders, how to persevere, how to live godly life, how to remain in the faith, and how to share the gospel, and to help us all to be mature in Christ. We thank God again for the letters written by the Apostle Paul. As we come to the conclusion of our lesson on today, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that we have a time to share with you. And our next lesson, we're going to wrap it up. And then we want to encourage you, if you would like to get a certificate of completion in this particular course, we want to share with you. You will have that opportunity. We will make available in the next few days our study questions for you to answer and turn into our Dean of Christian Education. Information will be on our website for you to complete this particular review, so that you can receive a signed document saying you have completed study in the letters of the Apostle Paul, the epistles of the Apostle Paul. If you want to be a part of that, we encourage you to do so. And again, it will be made available in the next coming days on our website, so you can begin to complete. But we're going to wrap up our lesson on the next week and conclude and summarize our study of the Pauline epistles. God bless you. We pray that you've gained something in this lesson. We look forward to you being a part of all that God has for us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. And we encourage you to join with us every Sunday morning here on our study time. We love you, and we thank each one of you right now in Jesus' wonderful name. Be blessed.